You know why some people don't like Life Sunday? Because they think the message today is one of bloodshed. And of course, they're right. Life Sunday is about bloodshed. The most disgusting kind of bloodshed, that of the most helpless, the most vulnerable, the most innocent. The bloodshed of the innocent is a serious matter to God. This is one of the so-called crying sins. Shedding the blood of innocent children cries to heaven for God to judge it. In Psalm 106, God says, shedding the blood of innocent children pollutes a land. It's one of the reasons that God threw out the Canaanites from the land. When Israel fell into the same sin, she too was pitched out. But in America, we're not supposed to talk about shedding the blood of the innocent. It is too gruesome. People would rather not hear it. Yet for 17 centuries in the Western Church, we have observed the festival of the slaughter of the holy innocents. Consider that you can put up crosses on highways to remember people who've been killed in grisly auto accidents, and no one says you're being morbid or judgmental. You're remembering the loss of someone. But when my congregation used to put up 978 crosses in memory of the children aborted each month in Louisiana, we were being morbid and judgmental. It's fine for people not to let us forget who died tragically, but we're wrong for not letting people forget the 58 million children who died in American wombs in the last 40 plus years. It's not wrong for the church to bring the bloodshed of the innocent down upon the heads of the guilty. That is one message of the church, isn't it? Aren't we to preach the law to people in their sins? Aren't we to bring the blood of the innocent down upon the head of the guilty? Mothers Against Drunk Drivers does that, and everybody cheers. How come they can show you tender videos of families killed by drunk drivers, and we are criticized for showing you an ultrasound of an unborn child? How come MAD gets commended for their righteous indignation over the thousands of people dying tragically each year by drunk drivers, and we are called holier than thou, Pharisees, Puritans, Gestapo, and the Inquisition when we're indignant over the millions killed by abortion? Or how about this? How come people for the ethical treatment of animals can bring the blood of animals upon people's heads and they're regarded as sincere, noble, selfless individuals looking out for defenseless animals? How come they can bring the blood of animals on people's heads and not be considered mean-spirited or self-righteous, but we are when we bring the blood of babies down upon the heads of people? Some people don't like Life Sunday because it's a message of bloodshed. But if we don't preach it, who is going to? The media will tell us how much productivity we lose due to alcoholism, obesity, and diabetes. But have you ever heard them mention the productivity lost by 1 million babies being killed each year in the United States? Or how about this? The media reports the increase of wildlife due to environmental efforts. But have you ever heard that due to decreases in abortion between 2010 and 2013, there were 14,462 more babies born in Texas? Don't you think it's newsworthy that Texas gained almost 7 6A high schools in 3 years? Also worth asking, how come the media never questioned the state's figures for wildlife? Whenever I have given the media the state's abortion numbers, the media reports the church has figures. If we won't speak up about the bloodshed of babies, who will? The blood of children has always been sacrificed to one God or another, and it's only been the church who has raised her voice against it. The Old Testament church protested continually against child sacrificing by pagans and by unfaithful kings of Israel. After the empire became Christian, Rome took away the father's right of life and death over his children, a right fathers used more against girls than boys. Now I'm quoting, with the spread of Christianity, the gospel, the first and most decisive discrimination between the sexes disappeared. The right to life was granted to girls as much as to boys. Ancient pagan medicine had little concern for the bloodshed of children. Serranius, a first century doctor, defines pediatrics as the art of deciding which newborns deserve to be educated and which should be thrown out. Cicero didn't think anyone ought to be disturbed by the death of a child. Seneca said it was reasonable to drown weak and sickly children. Contrast this with the second century church father Justin Martyr, who said, quote, "But as for us, we have been taught that to expose newly born children is the part of wicked men." The pagan attitude, once rejected by the church, is now the norm in our country among leading thinkers. Partial birth abortions couldn't be completely banned, even though the AMA said the procedure was closer to infanticide than it was to abortion. Princeton promoted a professor who doesn't believe disabled babies or children have a right to life. How did we ever get to the point of believing shedding the blood of children outside the womb is no big deal, by accepting their blood being shed while still in the womb? And people hate us for speaking up. Even within our own church body, we're criticized for having Life Sunday, even though our church body officially promotes it. People are turned off by bloodshed, and they're right. But still, we speak about the bloodshed of the innocent. However, we also speak about the bloodshed of the guilty. The news media and even those within the church assume that this second part is where we speak about shedding the blood of those guilty abortionists. They think our answer to abortion is to line up the relatively few doctors who do them and shoot them. They think we want to blow up abortion clinics. They think our answer to the shedding of baby blood is bloodshed. And they're right. The church's answer to the shedding of innocent blood has always been the shedding of guilty blood. We speak about the shedding of the blood of the guiltiest of all persons, Jesus Christ. Of whom else does it say God made him to be sin? Of whom else has anyone ever said, "Behold the Lamb of God who carries away the sins of the world"? Of whom else does it say that God was pleased to crush him for sins? Jesus became the guiltiest of all people, so his blood could be shed in our place and even in place of abortionists. Let me illustrate. A few years ago, I read about twin brothers. One of them committed a murder and came home with blood-stained clothing. The police came to get him. He slipped out the window. His twin brother found the blood-stained clothes under the bed, put them on, and walked outside to the police. He was convicted in place of his brother. This is what Jesus did for all people. He put on our clothes, stained with the blood of our hatreds, our prejudices, our bitterness. He stood before the Father and said, "I'm the guy you're looking for." So the Father took him out to the cross and nailed him to it. Our bloodshed has been paid for by his shed blood. But even the blood of babies, even the blood stains of abortions, even the blood stains in the very doctors who caused the bloodshed, yes, yes, and yes, that's the gospel. Jesus' blood is thick enough and rich enough to cover, to forgive, to wash out even this sin. 1 John 1:7, we're told, "The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins." 6 verses later, just in case there may be any doubts about abortionists, women who've had abortion or the men who paid for them, John says, "And not only our sins, but the sins of the whole world." When God says all, he doesn't mean some. When God says whole, he doesn't mean part. We all know John 3:16, but we breeze right through it as though there isn't much meat there. But there God says he loves the whole world. God doesn't say he loves all churches or he loves all Christians, but the whole world. And far from God desiring the abortionist to be shot or those having abortions to be paid back, he says in Ezekiel, that he does not desire the death of the wicked. And in Psalm 103, he says, he has not rewarded us according to our sins. The problem is that those outside the church judge God's heart by the size of their own. But there is no gospel in human hearts. No human would give up his or her only son in place of wretched, hateful sinners. No human could forgive the sin of baby killing. No human has the love to open arms to those stained by baby blood. But our heart is not God's heart. Our love is not his love. Jesus, without qualification, says, "The one who comes to me, I will never cast out." Hands that strangle the baby could come to Jesus and he wouldn't throw them out. Feet that walked into an abortion clinic could come to Jesus and they wouldn't be tossed out. Minds that have defended their sin against an unborn baby for years can come to Jesus now and he wouldn't turn them from them at all, let alone in disgust. You see, the blood of Jesus is not like the blood of babies. It doesn't call out for vengeance. It's not shouting to the sky for God to judge. It's as we sing in the Lenten hymn, "Abel's blood for vengeance pleaded to the skies, but the blood of Jesus for our pardon cries." Jesus' blood is calling, calling, calling on your behalf, my behalf, on behalf of all caught up in any sin, be it as heavy as abortion or as light as vanity. "Forgive them, Father," he calls. Take their sins away. I can't get my head around that, can you? I can't get my heart around it either. Part of the difficulty comes from how we approach it. On Life Sunday, we emphasize that God loves life. You hear and you think, oh, God loves the unborn, the disabled, the terminally ill. That's all true, but it's not really the gospel. The gospel is not that God loves life, but that God loves sinful life. In fact, God loves sinful life more than holy life. I mean, God didn't give up his only son to redeem holy angels, but sinful people. God doesn't call the healthy, but the ill to him for healing. God doesn't seek the seeing, but the blind. He does not the living, but the dead. Not the righteous, but the sinners. God loves sinful life. Yes, today we have nothing but a message of bloodshed. We speak about the blood of the innocent being shed unto death, and the blood of Jesus declared guilty of our sins being shed unto life. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.